Likewise, another person said, I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home. First, let me do this. Then I will follow you. Earthly relationships are more important. They take greater priority. Again, God does want us to fulfill our responsibilities in relating with others, and He does want us to bear in mind family relationships. But ultimately, He says, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. While He wants us to honor our father and mother, it is only in the context of absolute allegiance to Him. If we do not do that, then earthly relationships can become a distraction to us from following the Lord. We cannot properly focus on what the Lord is saying and what He wants us to do because we are so concerned about so many aspects of earthly relationships and responsibilities. And so the Lord Jesus said, no one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. If we want to follow Him, then following Him must be our top priority, and it must affect every area of our lives. It's in the context of following Him that we are meant to relate with others, we are meant to take care of our responsibilities, we are meant to do the things that we ought to do in this world. Without that, whatever we do in this world will have no value. Many people find this level of following the Lord Jesus very difficult. And it's quite easy for us to mistakenly think that this is the most important aspect of following Him. To give up our possessions, to go through hardships, to suffer physical discomfort, to be prepared to leave earthly ties, this may seem the most important thing in following the Lord. However, in the scriptures, the Lord tells us that this is not the most difficult. This is only the basic level in following Him. Self-seeking can continue in the midst of following the Lord in relation to the physical and temporal realm. Even if we are prepared to leave the physical and temporal concerns of life and their attractions and to follow the Lord, we may still harbor various aspects of self-seeking within our heart that will hinder us from truly following the Lord. And this is the area that ultimately the Lord has to deal with us if we want to follow Him fully. Matthew 19, verses 23 to 27. And Jesus said to His disciples, truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And when the disciples heard this, they were very astonished and said, then who can be saved? And looking upon them, Jesus said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then Peter answered and said to Him, behold, we have left everything and followed you. What then will there be for us? In this incident, we know that a rich man wanted to follow the Lord Jesus. He wanted to have eternal life. But When the Lord Jesus told him to sell all his possessions and to give to the poor and to then follow him so that he would have treasure in heaven, the man was unwilling to do so, and he went away grieved. The Lord Jesus then spoke to his disciples and said, "Truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." Parting with the possessions in this world is something that many do find very difficult. But in this context, we see that Peter responded and said to him, "Behold, we have left everything and followed you." So in this area, Peter and the other apostles had succeeded to a reasonable degree. They were prepared to leave everything and to follow the Lord Jesus. He said, "Behold, we have left everything and followed you." So in the physical temporal realm, they were prepared to give up these things in order to walk with the Lord Jesus, to follow him. But in the midst of that, Peter said, "What then will there be for us?" We find that in the midst of following the Lord Jesus, the longing within the heart, the attitude, the direction was still very much in terms of what will there be for us. Self-seeking aspects continue within the heart, even in the midst of seeking to follow the Lord Jesus. Even when we may be willing to part with physical, temporal things, we may still be longing for something for ourselves that is not pure. We see in the lives of the apostles at this stage, various desires that were not yet purified. They were not yet deeply identified with the Lord Jesus. We know that subsequently, when confronted with dangers and difficulties, they were not able to watch with him in prayer. They deserted him. They fled. They were not deeply identified with the Lord Jesus. If they were, then it would be more likely for Peter to say, "Behold, we have left everything and followed you." This is so meaningful. Just to be able to follow you. Following the Lord Jesus should bring such satisfaction and meaning to us. And they might also say, "Lord, is it meaningful to you? If there is anything that is not yet meaningful to you, teach us and we will correct it." Shouldn't that be the focus and concentration rather than what then will there be for us? So there are higher levels to reach, deeper things to learn, to deal with in our lives. A higher level of following the Lord Jesus involves partaking of the cup and going through the baptism in the same direction of heart as he manifested in his life. If we want to rise to a higher level of following the Lord Jesus, we must learn to partake of the cup and go through the baptism in the same direction of heart as he manifested in his life. The Lord Jesus tells us, we want to develop true worth in our being. We must learn this. We must be willing to go through it. We must work at it. We must develop in this direction. This path requires a very deep dealing of the self-life and deep identification with the Lord Jesus in what is most important and meaningful in his heart, which centers on the cup and the baptism. The cup and the baptism were central aspects in the life of the Lord Jesus. They were very important to him. But the disciples at that stage knew very little of what that meant. The Lord Jesus had to teach them, show to them, and in showing to them, teach us, that we too may benefit. Learning to drink the cup, to go through the baptism with the Lord Jesus, will lead to a life of self-giving for what is good and for the welfare of others and for the glory of God. This is the character of the Lord Jesus. He did not need to deal with self-life to live that way. But sinful people must first deal thoroughly with self-life to become like him. If we do not deal with our self-life, we cannot become like him. We must change our ways from self-seeking to self-giving. And this process is very difficult. Unless we are determined and perseverant, and unless we depend on him fully, we will not develop. The quality of this kind of identification with the Lord Jesus and produce true worth in our being. The disciples longed for true worth in their being. They wanted something valuable, important in eternity. The Lord Jesus asked them, "Are you able to drink the cup? Go through the baptism? Be baptized with the baptism with which I'm baptized." What then is the cup? What is the baptism? Matthew 26, verses 26 to 28. "And while they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins.'" The Lord Jesus took a cup and he gave thanks, then gave to the disciples and said, "Drink from it, all of you." This cup was to represent, to symbolize, to portray, to speak of his covenant, his blood of the covenant. He said, "For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins." So we need to recognize that first, the cup refers to the blood of the covenant, the new covenant. And in this aspect of the event of the cross, it is applicable only to the Lord Jesus. No one else can drink of that cup. The Lord Jesus, as the one who was sinless, drank of that cup in order to establish the new covenant. It was his blood poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. In this regard, none of us can drink of that cup. Only the Lord Jesus could. However, when the Lord Jesus asked that question, "Are you able to drink the cup?" And when subsequently he said, "You will drink the cup," he's telling the disciples and telling us that there is an aspect of the cup that we are meant to partake. We are also call upon to drink of that cup. For us, that cup cannot be the event of the cross, but it involves the spiritual principles of the direction and the heart attitude that are involved in that event, and these are applicable to us. When the Lord Jesus drank that cup, there are moral and spiritual principles involved. There's a heart attitude, a direction within him that led to him drinking that cup. These principles are applicable to us. We must follow him in this direction. Let's consider some of the principles that are involved in this drinking of the cup. Notice it is for the sake of others. The Lord Jesus said, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins." It is for the sake of others. It was not for himself. He was not drinking the cup because he had to do it for himself. He did it for others. If we want to follow the Lord Jesus, we must also drink the cup. Learn to live with concern for the welfare of others. We are often preoccupied with ourselves. Our whole lives center on ourselves. What we want, what we like, what we dislike. What is important to us? What affects us? How other people think of us? What will they do to us? We are preoccupied with this. People ill-treated the Lord Jesus, misunderstood him, maligned him, put him to death. In the midst of all that, he loved them. He cared for them. He sought to help them. He drank the cup for their sake. So it is for the sake of others. We must learn to drink of that cup. Then it involves suffering of an intense nature. Drinking of that cup in the event of the cross involved very, very intense suffering in the being of the Lord Jesus. If we want to follow him, we must be willing also to drink of that cup, to be prepared to go through intense suffering where the Lord sees fit to lead us. We must be prepared to identify with him in areas that he is deeply concerned about, which, if we do, we will also experience intense suffering. We know that it is very easy for us to seek to run away from suffering of any kind. We do not like suffering. We do not enjoy suffering. And so it's easy for us to want to run away from suffering of any kind. But if we want to follow the Lord Jesus, there are aspects of suffering that are meaningful to go through. They are not pleasant, they are difficult, they are painful, but they are meaningful. Are we willing to go through that, to drink that cup with him? The cup is associated with suffering for the sake of the sins and associated burdens of others. Not only is it an aspect of concern for the well-being of others, but it has to do with helping other people in the midst of their sins and their associated burdens to find freedom, to find life, to find meaning, to find forgiveness, reconciliation with God, transformation of their being. Drinking of the cup involves that kind of spirit. This again is very difficult for us. We are often suffering for our own failures and sins rather than for that of others. We must first purify our lives so that when we suffer, increasingly we will be suffering because of our love for others and not because of our self-centeredness. But in our stages of development, there often would be a mixture. There are times when we suffer for our own sins. There may be other occasions we suffer because we love others and we care for them.